What does the heavyweight champion of the boxing world have to do with the Denver Broncos? Really, I found very interesting article written at denversports.com. Mm. All right.
Detail.
Was that your jam right there?
It was.
Did I step on that?
No, you know what? Sometimes you got to have a little bit of rock and roll in there.
KJ, what was that?
That was The Heart of Rock and Roll by Huey Lewis.
Oh, Huey Lewis in the News. Okay. All right. I see you. I thought it was a really interesting article written at denversports.com this morning by our buddy James Merrillat, who it was the first, like, by the way, I'm not introducing a new thought here. It's a thought that we've been kicking around here at the station and just in our community online for, I don't know, a couple months now. But the way that James phrased the start of the article at denversports.com, he said, do you know who the world champion of the boxing world is? He said, name the current heavyweight champion of the world. Can you name the heavyweight champion of the world?
I can't.
KJ, can you name the heavyweight champion of the world?
Couldn't tell ya.
Okay. Either could I.
Mm.
And Tyson Fury is one of the champions. Okay. And a part of the reason we can't name it is because different governing bodies have split it up. And so you have, like, Manuel Char is currently holding the WBA belt. And then you got this other guy, Usyk, is the WBA super champion and IBF champion. So, but
there's a lot going on.
Yeah, it's too much for people to keep track of. But James is bringing it up, and I'm bringing it up because there was a time in this country where boxing was the biggest thing in the world. Nothing was dethroning Muhammad Ali, you know, and George Foreman and Frazier and Tyson and Holyfield. Just,
but by now, the way, you don't like Tyson.
Why don't I like
because
Tyson?
Because you want your boy Jake Paul to win.
I don't necessarily want him to win. That's just what I think is going to happen. I think he's going to knock him out. but
I don't know.
It'd be hard to tell someone, like, hey, in 30 years, no one will even know who the champion is.
Yeah.
And James's caution was to the Denver Broncos.
Ooh.
That you have ruled this roost for so long. You have been king of this castle for so long. But you've also been bad for so long now. And if there is just this assumption that it's a birthright that the Denver Broncos get to run this town forever, it's not true, despite their NFL status, which sits on the throne of American sports. Jake Shapiro, denversports.com. Appreciate you joining us Friday. That was a lot of fun on opening day.
Great time with you guys.
That was hilariously fun. It was a blast.
I'll never forget Phil signing autographs mid-segment and me and Zach being like, are we taking pictures of Phil with the fans? Are we supposed to be in the pictures?
What do you make of, like, hey, just you need to get your stuff together because you're being passed.
James and you guys are both right, Zach. I'm sitting here, and honestly, I didn't even think about it, but until we had that one segment earlier, and I was like, if the Denver Broncos don't find a way to get a quarterback, then they can end up turning, and it doesn't go right for them this year, they can end up turning irrelevant. And you said, Phil, they already are irrelevant right now.
Across the NFL landscape.
Across the NFL landscape. Now, you're talking about here in Colorado when you had the Colorado Avalanche winning, you had the Denver Nuggets winning, and if the Denver Broncos don't start winning, then people are going to, I'm not going to say forget about them because it's the Denver Broncos, but it's going to be one of those things where it's just like, oh, it's the Denver Broncos. You need somebody there. You need a superstar there. You need things to go your way for people to be interested in watching the sport and watching the Denver Broncos.
Jake, what do you make of the dynamic of this conversation?
I think there's a couple things about it. One, you can look at what's happened with the Colorado Buffaloes in the last 30 years. We've seen teams get up and unseated in this town because the Buffs were one of the biggest things in this town in the 90s. Two, we've seen it happen with an entire sport, not just boxing, but baseball. Can either of you guys tell me who won the World Series last fall?
Hold on.
Last fall, no. I know the Diamondbacks were in it, right?
It was the Rangers, Texas Rangers.
Okay. See how long it took you to come up with that? Like, yeah. It's not just like every sports fan knows, whereas the Super Bowl, we're like, yeah, we know who just won the Super Bowl. So I think there's a world in which sports shifts, and I think this actually happens a lot quicker than people want to believe. Like, at a time, not only boxing, but horse racing was the most important thing,
sir,
in this country.
Yes, sir.
Baseball was the important thing in this country for a long, long time. So, and then you talk about Phil's point, and James made this point as well. Who's on the Broncos? Who are you going to fall in love with? And I grew up in Chicago before I moved to Boulder when I was 12.
Yeah.
The Bears' best players were like Brian Urlacher and Devin Hester and Robbie Gould. I grew up with a Kickers jersey. Did that make me a football fan? No, it made me not a football fan. I was like, I'd rather root on the Cubs and the Blackhawks than the kicker, because there was nothing to root for with the Chicago Bears. So, and then I moved to Denver, and, you know, obviously Peyton Manning and all that fun stuff. But if you're growing up in Denver right now, you're going to fall in love with Pat Surtain and Javonte Williams?
So I'm really glad you just brought that, especially that last part up, because this past year has been so freaking fun introducing my 4 and now 5-year-old into sports. So we told the story. I went to his first Avs game, and we got his first jersey. We went, my wife's parents got his first Jokic jersey. And so now it's like getting into, and he roots for the Bills and Broncos, okay? He's got a Josh Allen jersey, and this year I'm going to get him a Broncos jersey. And when he's older, he can make his mind up who he really wants to root for.
Yeah.
But right now, it's just like, dude, he's 5, right? And I'm thinking, if I'm at the team store, whose jersey do I buy him? You want to say Pat Surtain. I don't know if PS2 is going to be on this football team in a month.
Mm.
So if it's not PS2, literally, who is it?
Sutton?
You don't know if Sutton's
going to be
here
on the team.
You know, even if he is, like you said, you don't know if he's going to be there. That's the issue with the NFL, you know, and I know that the NBA is like that as well. But, man, people don't stay long. They don't stay long enough for you to get a jersey anymore. I mean, when we were on the El Patio the other day, a guy came up to me and said, hey, man, I bought your jersey, and the next year you weren't here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So people are upset because people are not staying. And, yeah.
But that's every sport. That's not just the NFL. Like, you look at the NBA.
Like the NFL, though, is faster than any sport.
The NFL is faster than any of the other ones because of the turnover, the bodies that they accumulate.
Non-guaranteed contracts.
Yeah, it's just quicker than all the other sports. But you look at the Nuggets. Go back to the bubble. How many guys are left on the Nuggets from the bubble?
Hold on. 3?
4, Vlatko as well.
Oh, Vlatko. Okay. Chanchar, who doesn't play, but MPJ...
Jokic and Murray,
that's it.
Right. So these things change so quickly. And I mean, even if you go back, like the only player left from the Rockies playoff runs here the last couple of years that's healthy right now are Freeland and Blackman.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, and Brennan Rodgers was a little bit, Ryan McMahon was a little bit, you know, Marquez and Senzatela. Yeah. So like all these guys, they turn over so quickly. The only sport where it doesn't turn over as quickly, honestly, is hockey.
Mm.
Like we've had this core with the Avalanche for like 10 years now. And even still, they won a cup 2 years ago and half that team's gone.
Yeah. It literally half.
But see, this is the thing with hockey and basketball in our state right now. Jokic is going to the Hall of Fame, right? He's going to be here until he decides he doesn't want to be.
His jersey's timeless.
Okay.
Yes.
Nathan MacKinnon.
Timeless.
He's going to be here for a very long time, hopefully in the Hall of Fame later on. So these two right here, you know you can get their jersey and they're going to be around forever.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You can't say the same for anybody on the Denver Broncos or the Rockies.
And there's like a certain Elway thing with Jokic right now where he's going to be a Mount Rushmore. You know for sure that you can wear this jersey forever. He's going to be in that like cultural lexicon. I mean, if he wins another championship here, that's as many championships as John Elway won as a player.
Yeah.
Like we're talking about right now might be the shift in Denver sports. And you might say, hey, this doesn't happen. Look at Miami. That went from a Dolphins town to a Heat town.
Yeah.
Like, this happens in other cities. It just hasn't happened here that people remember because it used to be a baseball town here. It did. This was a baseball city. And then the Denver Broncos became important and were a big league team, and our baseball teams were minor league teams, and everyone in the town went to shifting towards football. What would have happened if the Denver Nuggets, when they went to the NBA in the late 70s, if they were really good?
Yeah, right.
Would we have been a basketball town this whole time?
Yeah, maybe. You just don't know. And this is why this era of Broncos football, this specific window, I've been referring to it as a tipping point. Because it's going to go, they are at a fork in the road. It is a choose your own adventure book. And this next choice that they make at the most important position is going to is going to say a lot in just in terms of the direction. What is the RamosLaw.com text line saying, KJ, here?
All right, from the 720289, it's time for a Sean Payton coach's jersey.
Well, guess what, man? I'll tell you what, if Sean doesn't win this year, people are going to start getting increasingly frustrated with him. So,
what number would that be?
2 for the lattes.
Too many lattes.
All right.
Or 3 to troll Russell.
Jake, appreciate your time, dude.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Take care, Jake.
While things may be coming together for the Nuggets heading into the playoffs, one massive question on the Avs front may be blocking that same optimism. That's where we'll go coming up next. Trouble when you walked in. It's a shame on me now. Blew me to places I've never been. Till you put me down. Oh, I knew you were trouble when you walked in. While things may be coming together for the Nuggets heading into the playoffs, one massive question on the Avs front may be blocking that same optimism. The Avs. Maybe in a little trouble.
Great game. I said great game. Great song.
Not a great game.
Not a great game
great
for
us. Song.
Not if they don't do what they're supposed to do.
Oh, my gosh. The Avs have not just lost 2 in a row, which, hey, over the course of a season, I guess is going to happen. Now, these were bigger games.
They were.
These are not just like run-of-the-mill in December that are footnotes in a long season. These were bigger games.
And you got 4 games left.
That's
right?
It. That's
so
it.
So you're kind of preparing for the playoffs. You know, so these games are big.
And there are stakes. Like heading into Friday, it's like the division is still in play.
Yep.
You know, you're thinking about seeding, home ice, all this stuff. The Avs didn't just lose both those games. They got beat like a drum. Gave up 13 goals over the course of 2 games. A 6-2 loss in Edmonton on Friday and a 7-4 loss to Dallas last night. Not used to seeing that. There was that one, remember the East Coast road trip where it was like 5 or 6 games where I think the Avs might have won 1 of them against Washington.
Yeah, they only won 1.
But we're not used to seeing the Avs get beat and beat down. That's certainly what happened on Friday night. Last night, less of that, like a true beatdown, because I thought it wasn't all bad. But at the end of the day, not even close to good enough.
No, it wasn't good enough. It was not good enough, and it was not all on Georgiev. It was not all on Georgie. The defensive side of the puck did not do well, man,
no.
And they haven't done well for a while. They have to tighten up when the playoffs come around because we're going to need that. And on top of that, all right, our goalie play has not been strong like we want it to be, okay, and what we need it to be in order for us to hold up a cup.
Yeah, that's the single biggest question mark about this team right now as the playoffs are about to start. It's not the only question mark. You know, we could talk about the health and, you know, Amico and,
yeah,
you know, getting, I don't even want to talk about Gabe. I know some people are still mentioning that. I'm just totally putting that out of mind. But you can kind of go through some questions, some of depth, maybe experience for some of the other guys that haven't, you know, hoisted that cup. But you could, I think, add all of that up, all the other questions facing the team, and I don't think it equals the goaltending conversation because, I am worried. I am worried.
And we kind of asked this question before, the trade deadline, Zach, and we were like, look, there's a couple things that the Colorado Avalanche need to address, all right? Do we need to address the goalie situation? We didn't know at the time because Georgiev was doing decent at times. Onanen was coming around, and he had that shutout, you know, so everybody was kind of like, okay, we can hang with our goalie, our goalies, all right, but we need to address, like, Casey Mittelstadt. Sean Walker coming in.
Right.
Those are big pieces that we did address, and it looks like it's paying off. But we can't have our cake and eat it, too. Of course, we wanted to address all 3 situations and get more depth, but that wasn't going to be the case. So we asked ourselves, what was better to do?
Right.
You know, go get help where we needed help at, get a number 2 center.
Yep.
Or go get a goalie. And I think we, at that time, I think we wanted a number 2 center.
Yeah. And you're right. but it's aging poorly. Mm. Not like they shouldn't have picked up a number two center. The moves look good.
Yeah.
But this situation, it is just that. It is a situation. And I don't exactly know how much I like, on a scale of 1 to 10 on the old concernometer, I think I'm at like a 7.
Mm.
And I'm not like one of, you know, I ask James and he say, I wake up at a 7. Yeah. So I'm at a 9. That's typically not how I am. I'm at a 7 here because, and here's where I'm at. I don't think you need great goaltending to win a Stanley Cup. I watched Vegas do it last year. I watched the Avs do it the year before. But you can't have bad goaltending and win it. You cannot have bad goaltending and win it. And right now, this situation, it ain't good. It ain't good. And I think it's bordering on flat-out bad.
See, I'm going to go, and I know my journey just begun. It's going to be my first playoffs with you.
Yep.
So it's going to be exciting. But I know that's going to be one of these dirty, mucked-up games, ugly goals. But I've seen stuff from Georgiev because we're thinking it's still going to be Georgiev playing. I think Bednar wants it. You know, I'm okay. I'm more confident with it than having Onanen, who's considered a rookie.
Yeah.
But he has shown flashes, Zach, of stepping up when things matter the most and when things are important to him. And what I mean by that was the Rangers game, right? He was going against his old team.
Yeah.
He was behind Igor.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
And, man, that was probably the first time I've ever seen Georgiev play the way he did, with the intensity, with the details. Now, he knows he's going to have to bring that every single game in the playoffs. Now, I'm not saying he can steal your series. I don't think Georgiev can steal your series.
Yeah.
But I think that he can play out of his mind, stand on his head for one game.
Yeah.
I think he can win you a game.
I hope so.
Which leads to other things. I think the defense will tighten up because it's just one game at a time now. And everybody knows the more that you lose, you know, it gets away from you. So everybody's going to be tight. Everybody's going to be going 100 miles an hour. And I think that's why I'm not going to be at a 7. I'm more at like a 5.
Oh,
4.8 right now.
4 something.
4.8. I think that Georgiev, when he gets in these playoffs,
okay,
everything's just going to hole in it because it's not all on him.
It's definitely not.
Defense is not doing well.
Especially last night.
Yeah.
Especially last night. But here's what I'll say about, because I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
That game against New York was one of his best outings. But isn't it the perfect encapsulation of this situation that we're talking about one of his best outings is a game that the Avs lost?
Yeah.
Now, I know they lost in a shootout. You're not going to a shootout in the postseason.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's almost a perfect little microcosm. And I am worried. I know they'll play better in front of them. They have to.
They have to.
But I'll tell you this. If they don't step up and that penalty kill looks like it did last night, that was hard to watch, brother. It's hard to watch. 3 for 3?
Yeah.
On special, that's, ooh.
In Winnipeg, because that's who we're going to be probably playing in the playoffs,
yeah,
after getting beat by Dallas.
Yes.
They have a phenomenal goalie.
Connor Hellebuyck.
That can steal you a game and a series.
He's going to win the Vezina this year, and it's not his first.
Mm.
He is a true dude between the pipes. And if the Avs don't freaking straighten up with 4 games left, they could be going on the road for game 1.
Yes. Yes.
It's not unthinkable.
And people are like, oh, home ice doesn't matter. Home ice doesn't matter. I think it does in our situation because we've been dominant at home. And who doesn't want to have an opportunity to be at home when it matters the most?
You want to be home.
You want to be home.
You want to be home.
Give me home ice.
All right. We'll see what it looks like. One of the largest singular impacts that sports have ever seen actually has a connection to Denver. And it could be, over time, getting stronger. We'll explain coming up next. One of the largest singular impacts that sports has ever seen came to an end over the weekend. And it did have a bit of a loosely Denver connection that maybe in time could get stronger. Talk about that here in just a second. The Caitlin Clark phenomenon has come to a close, Phil.
It's over.
And it truly was a phenomenon. Like, this was, in my lifetime, and really no matter how old you are, the older you are, you may be able to draw a few more examples. But this was as rare as any, like, meteoric rise over a short period of time that we have ever seen Caitlin Clark's impact on the world of college basketball.
Yeah, I mean, there's not another player, especially for the women's side right now, that made an impact like Caitlin Clark did to the game, right? In a good way.
Yeah.
It got everybody out there. I got to see, and I haven't got to watch the women's basketball for a while. Since my sisters got done playing, I haven't watched it.
Okay.
But watching that game again, Zach, I got to see other players out there, even for the other teams.
Oh, yeah.
South Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
That was like, man, these women are good.
Yeah.
These women are fun and exciting to watch. And it's because Caitlin Clark was there that everybody wanted to tune in. Now everybody gets to see that.
Yeah.
And now everybody will be tuning in more because there's going to be other players just like Caitlin Clark that are going to be really, really good when they get a little older. There's a couple freshmen on South Carolina that mm-hmm. are phenomenal, man.
Yep, yep.
And by the time they're seniors, whew, we don't know what's going to be for them.
No.
But we would have never seen them if it wasn't for someone like Caitlin Clark going out there.
Yeah. And you know what they call it in wrestling? Pro wrestling, and we had WrestleMania over the weekend.
We did.
Which,
The Rock.
Which was hilarious on so many levels. And maybe if we have time, can squeeze that in. It was like Celebrity Central at the Link in Philly where the Eagles played.
Oh, it was fun.
It was wild.
Oh, Zach Bies in the building. Getting choked.
But in wrestling, they call it the rub, where if you want a guy to get more visible, mm-hmm. you put him with a huge star.
Which makes sense.
So, like, do you remember the name Chris Jericho?
I do.
So, when Chris Jericho came into WWE, they're like, who's the first guy he's going to work with? The Rock. We're just going to give him the rub. Oh, you want to get a Macho Man popular? Have him work with Hogan. Like, so we've seen this over the years.
A jumpstart.
Yeah, it is. It's a jumpstart. So, but I'm bringing that up because if you're Juju Watkins at USC, if you're Paige Beckers at UConn, if you're Angel Reese at LSU, and maybe she's a little bit different because she was a star on her own, but like through this turn, if you're Colorado,
yeah,
you're in the Sweet 16. More people watch Colorado basketball against Iowa than in the history of the Colorado program. And so everyone benefits. It's the tide that lifts all the boats, and that was Caitlin Clark. And we got the numbers today. About 90 minutes ago on what the national championship did. First, we'll give it to you on Friday night. Iowa versus UConn in the Final Four on Friday night averaged 14 million viewers. Phil, that's more than every game of the World Series last year. That's more than every game of the NBA Finals last year. That's more than every Masters final round for over a decade, including the day where everyone was running to their TVs to watch Tiger Woods in 2019 win the Masters.
Was it 2009 or 2019?
I think it was 2019. Yeah, 19. Yeah, yeah. It was
okay,
just a few
so
years
2009
ago, yeah.
was the big one, but 2019?
So the game on Friday night outdrew every Masters Sunday going back to 2013. And within that 11-year period, it's Tigers 2019.
Okay, yeah.
But, I mean, you're talking about, like, there being four or five college games that beat it. And outside of that, it beat every college football game. And then we get the number 90 minutes ago for the national championship. It was 18.7 million people. I mean, we've literally never seen anything like this before. And
easy, man.
It had me thinking of, like, because we had the conversation a few weeks ago of, like, who's the comp coming out of college that created this much buzz? And a name that we brought up was Zion.
Yep, Zion.
And I went back and looked at it. The ACC championship game, Zion's only year at Duke did 4 million people, 4 million viewers. So that doesn't even come close to this. Looked up Tiger. He was millions and millions off from this when he won in 2019. I said, what other American athlete has had tens of millions?
And we said American.
American athlete. Had tens of millions of Americans, not millions, but tens of millions, gathering around a television set where they otherwise would not have. And I racked my brain, did research, and the one name that finally popped in and the numbers back it up is Michael Phelps.
Oof.
Michael
How can
Phelps.
You forget about Michael Phelps?
I don't think about swimming a lot.
No, for sure. I'm the same way, and it's easy to do. But when that man was in his prime, and even the last swim of his
yes,
career.
Yes, I think it was 2016.
But what year was it where he had a comeback from behind?
Yeah, right. I think it was 2008, remember? Yeah.
That was epic, man.
Yes.
That was epic.
Yes, when he's, like, leading the relay from behind, and you can see him just gaining ground. And the front cover of Sports Illustrated is him reaching out, touching the wall, but the camera's from under the pool. I mean, it's legendary stuff, but his last Olympics. Think about this. His last Olympics on NBC on a Saturday night, over 30 million Americans sat down and watched Michael Phelps swim.
30 million to watch Michael Phelps
it's insane.
Swim.
It's insane. And that's what I'm saying. That's what Caitlin Clark has put herself in this category where were people going to watch anyway? Yeah, it's the Final Four. But we've never seen anything like this. And
yeah.
Do you think it's going to translate to the WNBA?
For Caitlin Clark or for the viewers?
For Caitlin Clark's arrival, lifting up the entire sport from a viewership standpoint, yeah.
I think it's going to try, and it's gonna come down to how the WNBA reacts to it, how it takes this opportunity and runs with it, making sure that they try to figure out to piece different things together to make this exciting, especially because everybody knows Caitlin Clark. Right, and it's sad to say that, but I haven't watched a WNBA game. I don't know anybody else from the WNBA.
Sure.
And so for Caitlin Clark, bringing her in is going to bring attention. They got to try to figure out a way to keep that attention rolling.
Yep.
Right? They're going to have to find ways like that. Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark.
Game number one. That's what they should do.
It has to be something like that until everybody starts to watch it more and then more characters are developed. I call them characters because
that's what it's about. Dude, we're talking about TV. It's a TV show.
Yes. Football, you got to have the good guys, the bad. You have to have characters. That's what made me so good is that I had all this hair.
Yeah.
Had all this hair. It was 150 pounds. All this hair, talking stuff. Like, people want to see that. It's something different.
Yeah.
Right?
I love it. I absolutely love it. I mentioned the connection to Denver. Just put this on your radar.
Yeah.
Of every market in the country, Denver was in the top 10 watching this.
Mm.
And I'm bringing it up because Denver was up for a WNBA team in 2023, and they missed out on it. But that league will continue to expand if they have their way. And with more success will come expansion. And I wonder if you're the WNBA and you look at those numbers, like who's a major market that is into this? And Denver was into this past weekend. One of the top 10 markets in the entire country watching that game on Friday night.
I like it.
So
I like it. Bring a WNBA team here.
Could one day in 10 years, will I be able to bring my daughter Mia to a WNBA game? Maybe.
Crazy.
We'll see what happens. I want to give a quick shout out here on the way out. Dawn Staley, class act after the game.
I want to personally thank Caitlin Clark for lifting up our sport. She carried a heavy load for our sport. And it just is not going to stop here on the collegiate tour. But when she is the number one pick in the WNBA draft, she's gonna lift that league up as well. So Caitlin Clark, if you're out there, you are one of the GOATs of our games, and we appreciate you.
A lot of discourse was happening around Caitlin with her success.
Yeah.
And which comes with it. We talked about that earlier in the show. Yeah. Comes with it. But I thought that was a cool moment for her as a champion who just knocked her down to sort of build her back up with her words on the podium.
Well, she knows. All right. She knows how much Caitlin Clark means to the game, but also Staley, right? She brings something to the table, too. She is a legend, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that, like, when we talked about earlier about people being the founding fathers and stuff like that and people having to, like, do things so that we can get here, that's kind of what Staley was.
Yes.
In the WNBA, she was dominant.
Star.
She was the start of a lot of these things.
Yep.
Right? And for now, because of what she's done, it kind of paved the way. And now Caitlin Clark's able to take it to another level where everything is all about the viewers and everything's there. So it's a great time, man. It's a great time. And shout out to Coach Staley for what she's done. Shout out to Caitlin Clark for what she's done for the women's basketball.
You know what? It just reminded me of it. We got to go. Is Dan Lanning after the Oregon-Colorado game thanking Coach Prime.
Yeah.
Said people watch this because of Coach Prime. And we thank Deion Sanders, despite the discourse leading up to the game.
Yeah, that was wild.
It was wild.
I don't know how I'd take it, though. Because you're just like, thank you for letting us whoop your butt. Thank the viewers.
It's the final week of the Nuggets season, and things just may be coming together in the nick of time. That's coming up next. On your mark, ready, set, let's go. Dance floor, go. It's the final week of the NBA season. Regular season, anyway. Four more games for the Denver Nuggets. That's it, man.
Four more.
Wow.
That's it for Avs and Nugs.
School is almost done. Summertime is here. I'm just thinking about it as if I was a kid getting ready for summer break.
And you have to go back for summer school, right?
Not me. I probably did. I just wasn't going.
I almost went, man. My seventh grade year, I was teetering.
You're still in summer school, I thought.
Yeah. You're like school in summer because you got no class.
Oh. I got all the class. Class in session.
I had a teammate from actually Nathan McKinnon's town, Nova Scotia. I had a teammate named Ben Johnson. He's like, you're like school in July. No class. It's the final week of the Nugget season, and things just may be coming together in the nick of time, man. Mm. Jamal Murray coming back into the fold with 5 games left, a returned, played 21 minutes, scored 16 points, handed out 6 helpers against the Atlanta Hawks. It was just like, we know it wasn't like Jamal missed a year, but it was more than a little bit, and we didn't know when he was coming back until he did. That question was just kind of hanging and growing larger by the game. Yeah. It was good to see him back in a Nuggets uniform.
Well, Zach, first off, did anybody find out what it exactly was that was kind of hindering him or holding him back? Like, we still don't know that.
All we know is right knee inflammation.
What
caused it? Don't know.
My man popped up with, 16 points.
Yep.
You know, didn't have to play that much.
Nope.
Which is great. It's like, get your feet wet. You know, he was probably going to be on a time count anyway. He wasn't going to be on there that long on the court that long. But it kind of gradually and organically happened where they didn't have to play. The Stars didn't have to play that long.
Right. And just 21 minutes, that was perfect.
Yeah, it was.
A perfect, like kind of like a soft opening. Like a soft opening for a restaurant. You invite like family and friends. Just kind of just get things warmed up. See how things are working before you play major minutes or open to the public in that analogy. Do you think this is enough time to get him where he needs to be heading into the first round?
Zach, he's where he needs to be. As long as he is healthy, okay? The rest of it, I mean, he's been playing his whole life. It's like riding a bike. Once he gets going, once he gets hot.
I was thinking just like a conditioning standpoint. Because game shape is different, and then playoff shape is different than game shape.
It is, but you know what? No matter what, Zach, if he's not ready or ready, he's going to be out there. And he's going to have to figure out a way to help himself out and get his stamina up. Now, it was only 7 games. We're acting like he missed like 30.
Yeah, but it was like 3 weeks.
It was 3 weeks. 3 weeks, but at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know? And you kind of get excited for the playoffs. So I'm not worried about that part. What I'm worried about is there going to be a setback? Was there something a little bit more urgent with his injuries than we know, and that's why he wasn't going to play that much anyway? That's what I get nervous about, because we all know that if something happens to one of these core starters, it's going to be rough. It's going to be a rough time, and we don't want a setback now. We don't need a setback now.
No.
Getting ready to go into these playoffs.
Yep. And there's been just stuff throughout the year. It's a long year. Guys are going to get banged up.
Yeah.
But here we are with 4 games left. If the Denver Nuggets finish the season 4-0, they will be the number one seed in the Western Conference.
Uh-oh.
And that's where we're at, all right? Here are the 4 games left. Tomorrow night at Utah. Now, it sounds like from the comments of Michael Malone today that everyone's going to play, okay? Could that be an indication of how they plan on handling these last handful of games? Not sure. We'll find out. But after the game in Utah on Tuesday, they come right back for their last back-to-back. It's at home against the Minnesota Timberwolves on Wednesday, which could be the biggest game of the season.
Yes.
With the number one seed hanging in the balance. And then from there, it's at Spurs on Friday, at Memphis on Sunday, 2 teams who are not good at basketball right now, and one or maybe both who are trying to lose, certainly not trying to win, in San Antonio and Memphis. So this is it, man. We're going to come in here 1 week from now. Season's over. Looking ahead.
Now, this is a back-to-back, right? Correct?
Yep.
So they're going to play Utah, turn around, and play the Timberwolves. So that's going to tell you a lot right there. I think that, me personally, the Timberwolves is the big game, right?
Yep.
If they win, I think that organically they're going to be able to rest because it's 2 other bad teams. If they lose, they're going to still rest, because I think now it's like, it is what it is. We lost to the Timberwolves. It doesn't matter anymore. Let's get ready for the playoffs.
Phil, I think you may be right. I think you may be right there. It was good to see Michael Porter Jr. In the fifth to last game of the season get up to 20 points, 7 of 10 shooting. He was 4 for 8 from 3. So hopefully that momentum continues to carry itself into the playoffs. And man, it was fun to watch Denver over the weekend just make shots.
Yeah.
Like, this team looks unbeatable when they just make shots. For the fifth time in the history of this basketball team, they made at least 23 three-point field goals. And they're, if you look at the history of when they make 20 or more, they're 15-0 all time. And then Jokic, another triple-double in just three quarters. Mm. The 47th time that the triple-double was notched before the fourth quarter started. So, more history for Jokic. It's just like one thing after the other.
Every night's history. Every night, Jokic is going to do something that has never been done or break some kind of record. It is what it is. He's the best player to play the game right now. But you know who is coming on strong at the right time in two different categories?
On Denver?
On Denver.
Reggie Jackson.
You know, Reggie kind of irritates me at times.
Yeah, he does me too.
Like, he throws up dumb shots and tries to take on 7'10" centers. Like,
yeah. But when he's in his reserve role, he's settled back into that.
When he's in the reserve role, he looks great. And that's a good thing. That's a good sign.
Who are you thinking of?
KCP.
Oh, my
KCP
God. I freaking love that,
is
dude.
Is dominating right now. Whether it's rebounds, assists, you know, points. He had 24 points. Yep. Last night.
6 threes.
And, Zach, correct me if I'm wrong. His contract's coming back up, right?
We're going to have
to. Man, for that man right now, he's smiling. Because now not only is he putting on a show, and now it's like, you're going to have to pay me. But also, it's like, uh-oh, KCP is coming along. And he's scoring 15, 20 points, playing great defense, getting rebounds. Like, this is what we need to see, right? Not just Jokic and Jamal. KCP dominating. All right, you said this. Can Michael Porter Jr., he had 20 points.
Yep.
This is a great time. And he's going to have some games where he can put up 20 points. You know, he needs that confidence. It's getting scary, Zach.
I love this team when they're healthy. When everyone's back in their role. And by the way, you're spot on with KCP. I think he's got 17 made threes in the last four games. That's insane.
Yeah.
And during that time, he's got a 1-for-5 game. That leaves a lot of made threes for the other three games. 6 threes against Cleveland, 4 against the Clippers, 6 on Saturday against Atlanta. He's a pro's pro.
He really is.
He is such a big part of this team. And I think they're getting something done behind the scenes.
You think so?
Last week after the game, it was doing the encore interview, and he's like, Nuggets for life. I just don't think that you say that if you plan on leaving. Not if you're a guy like KCP anyway.
Well, you know he doesn't want to leave. And he's willing to do whatever it takes to get that done. Now, I think it's being done, too, because you can't lose somebody like KCP. You were saying that. You were saying, yo, Phil, if we even lose someone like KCP, he gets hurt. We're not winning this.
You're not winning a championship
without
KCP. And I didn't
really think about it. You know, nope. I didn't really think about it until I start to really watch what KCP was doing out there and how important he is to the team. It's like, okay, you're right. When he was hurt with that hamstring and we decided to play him, it was like, what are we doing? It's like, man, the reason why you don't want to mess around with him with a hamstring is because you need him, like, now, which he's doing some crazy stuff now
because
he's healthy.
He's shooting over 41% from three, and he's one of the best on-ball defensive guards in the NBA. And this guy is so valuable, man. He is so valuable. He's a guy, like, if Denver goes on to, like, win it again, KCP is interwoven in the history of this team. To like you think of like other championship teams and not like the MVPs of the team, but like guys who are just so integral in winning. And I'm thinking of like just like through the years of like the Shaq and Kobe Lakers, they won 3 in a row. Like, does that happen without Derek Fisher? Mm. And I know like no one brings up Derek Fisher first, but
oh,
it's like
he was a big part of that.
Dude,
big part of that.
Huge.
All I can remember is that big bald head in the TV.
But guys through the years that are just like they're just massive to team success.
Who would that have been with the Miami Heat? You had Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James. But who was that other guy? Would have this been those three?
I would say someone like Udonis Haslam, who's just like, again, yep. like he's a Hall of Famer in team history.
Yeah.
Never a Hall of Famer, never even an All-Star. Mm. But like he is interwoven, and Haslam's an extreme example because he was there for so many years. And it's the opposite with KCP. He hasn't been here for a lot of years. This is literally his second year. And if he signed a 2-year deal, and if they win championships in both years of KCP being here, first of all, you never buy a drink in the state of Colorado again, ever, ever. And by the way, he's like leaned into having Denver home.
Yeah, embracing it.
Like I remember telling you, I walked into the CU-USC game up in Boulder next to KCP wearing a CU jersey with his son. Like you see him around. And
he wants to be here.
Yeah.
He wants to be here. And I think that's why they're going to get something done for him. He's going to make sure of that. And they better. I mean, if we want to keep this going, we're going to need KCP.
Yeah. He's huge. He's huge to the success, man. How about the bench? We've been talking about the bench for a very long time.
Yeah, we have.
That, and I'm not projecting that we're going to see 58 points a night here moving forward from the bench. But I'll tell you, on Saturday, that was fun to watch. Reggie Jackson, Peyton Watson, Justin Holiday. Mm. I mean, it was, and Christian Brown was in a starting role because Aaron Gordon was given the night off or whatever. But just in general, the bench was hilariously fun to watch. So we'll see if that can continue here, and everyone's feeling good about themselves when the games really start to matter in the next 2 weeks.
I want to see it versus the Timberwolves this week. That's going to be a big game. It's going to tell us a lot, Zach. It's going to tell us a lot of what's going on and how they're going to do some rotations during the playoffs.
Yeah, and speaking of playoff rotations, if I had to guess, I think Justin Holiday is going to play in the playoffs more than people might imagine.
Justin Holiday.
Yep, because of his floor as a veteran and Michael Malone's historical trust in
veterans
with higher floors.
So tell me this, does he see more time than someone like Peyton Watson?
On certain nights, absolutely. Absolutely, because I told you about Peyton Watson.
Yeah, you did.
I think the links in his chain, there are going to be some nights where it's one link long because Michael Malone just, not that he did anything wrong, they just didn't have enough time to build up trust beyond this year. He's playing for the first time as an everyday player this year. He'll get an opportunity every night, and that's all he's promised is an opportunity. Every night, so we'll
see.
That's
all you need.
We'll see what he does with it.
Hey, Watson, take advantage of that opportunity. I'm rooting for you.
Oh, we all are. There's no doubt about it.